Today on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, an award-winning guaranteed Irish company. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Today on RTE Radio 1, text 51551.
Well, we've been hearing that sad news this morning about the passing of social justice campaigner and advocate Sister Stanislaus Kennedy, Sister Stan, at the age of 86. Tributes have been pouring in, with Taoiseach Simon Harris saying the country will be the lesser for her passing, and Taoiseach Micheál Martin admiring her tireless advocacy and ability to inform policy. I'm joined now by former President Mary McAleese and Archbishop Dermot Martin. Good morning to both of you. Mary McAleese,
morning.
You've known her a long time. How did you first meet?
I met her first when she worked with Bishop Peter Birch in Kilkenny. So our friendship goes back a very, very, very long way, right back to the days when she got her first honorary degree from Trinity College in 1982. And right up until a few weeks ago, the last email I had from her saying, see you soon. We had just agreed the day that we'd meet up. Looking forward to talking to you. So we go back a long way. Mm. I was always very proud on the day that back in 2017, when my husband Martin was Chancellor of Dublin City University. And on that day, she got an honorary degree from DCU along with Bill Clinton, who spoke about her beautifully. And she was the most humble person, but she was really, really proud that day. And I think back to all the things she's accomplished in the meantime. That woman was a powerhouse. She was the best of the best. And the legacy that she has left behind, because she was so meticulous in everything she did. You look at Focus Ireland, you look at the Young Social, the Social Innovators Sanctuary, all the Immigrant Council, all the things that she set up have a longevity because she forward planned. She's left a phenomenal engine behind her.
Indeed. And she chose to become a nun in order to work with the poor. That was her entry into social justice, into campaigning. What most impressed you about her in that regard?
The fact that she stayed with it all her life. She never resiled from it. She never, no matter how difficult it got, and it did get very difficult at times, God knows, that she was a person of hope, person of prayer, person of faith. And she constantly brought all of us who worked with her back to things like being silent, you know, finding space in this very busy, mad, social media driven, toxic world. Her lovely, quiet, gentle, but insistent voice would bring you back to things like gratitude, silence, prayer, meditation, the garden, you know, all of these simple things in life. That you would use to refill and replenish, and she did. She was a champion at drawing your attention to what you needed in a busy life to make that life really very fulfilled, but fulfilled in the best sense of the word, not just ambitious for the self, but ambitious for your people, for your country, and in particular for those who had so little. I remember back in 2017, we organised a huge surprise party for her, and I was involved in, my job was to get her into the venue so that she actually thought she was introducing me at a conference. She had no idea. And on the platform that day, and she was mortified. She spent the whole time.
Well, I was going to say, did she take kindly to being tricked?
No, we knew there'd be a row afterwards. But what was lovely was to hear the number of people who come up on the platform. I can think of young women, young immigrant women, one in particular who had become a barrister, who'd started out absolutely, utterly alone in the world and homeless, and a chance encounter with Stan. She got her home. She got it wasn't just ever about a roof for Stan. It was about supporting the person, filling in all the gaps in their lives that people who, like me, who grew up, you know, in a home where you had parents and aunts and uncles, mm-hmm, and, you know, mm-hmm, you'd always somebody around to help you through. People who were left completely at sea would have those built-in supports. And that young girl, who's now a very, very accomplished young barrister, spoke about the impact that Stan had on her life. I think that was the moment that Stan kind of melted it and thought, well, I won't raise the roof or read the Riot Act after this. But there was a wonderful occasion. It was just before her 80th birthday. Okay. We knew there was no point in planning an 80th birthday for her. She'd have gone mad. She hated anything drawing attention to herself, but she wanted the attention focused on those who had so little, the poor, the forgotten, mm-hmm. the overlooked, the neglected. And I think now, you know, week after next, Focus Ireland will be launching a huge new campaign, to ensure that every child will have a home. Now, there are almost 6,000 children today who don't. And that would have broken Stan's heart. But I'm not going to say that she died unhappy, because she was the most happy person. She was always hope-filled. But I think the fact that the statistics on homelessness were just that graph was going up and up would definitely have been really getting to her, even to the moment of her heading down Sliabh Éireann.
Archbishop Diarmaid Martin, what were your impressions of her when you met her?
My experience is completely the opposite to Mary McAleese, is that I got to know her in the last few years, that I say mass occasionally or regularly in the convent in Stanhope Street where she comes. And my memory, you know, she was a giant in what she achieved. But I didn't know the campaigner. I knew the person. I knew this quiet, calm, joyful elderly nun, physically slowed down, intellectually extraordinarily sharp. But I don't know what her physical heart, what the condition was as she got older. But her emotional, her heart of caring was a dominant thing that you saw with her. You know, I think people will be saying, you know, that this woman who achieved so much as a campaigner remained always the caring, simple woman that she was. It isn't that she remained that. It was because of that. It was in that person, in that humility, in that she loved the poor. If you talk to her, even at times when the statistics were very dramatic, she never really got lost in the statistics. Her real care was for individuals in the poor, and she had a capacity of trust in the poor, of knowing what the poor can do. And how they, through surviving, they show extraordinary initiative. And you could see how happy she was when any of her people that she worked with did well. Mm. You know, it was like a mother with their own children. I mean, sometimes, and this is another thing that was important with her, sometimes church people say, we want to be the voice of the poor. No, maybe we at times must be. But above all, we should be giving voice to the poor to enable them to take on and live a full life. And I say this, it's also something about the future of the church, that the church shouldn't be there running the systems as we did in the past, but identifying the gaps, identifying those who are marginalised and nobody notices. Okay. And that was really one of her extraordinary talents.
Mary McAleese, I'm struck, though, that there must have been more to her than Diarmaid Martin is saying, than that quiet gentleness, because this was somebody who was quite comfortable with being at odds with her religious order at times, and certainly at odds with the politicians of the day. Charlie Haughey said that he found her too radical and intransigent. So there must have been a steeliness to this person, too.
You better believe it. As usual, Archbishop Diarmaid Martin has got her absolutely spot on. And he mentioned it in the quiet, that gentle voice. That gentle voice, you would be very foolish to think that it was indicative of a kind of a marshmallow person. She had a spine of tempered steel. And over the years, there were attempts to silence her. Imagine someone, as eminent as Charlie Haughey, describing her publicly in those terms. If it was designed to silence and to quieten her, it was never going to do that. But what she never was strident. She never was rude or loud or voluble. One of the reasons for that, she didn't need to be. She always dealt in facts, you see. She was able, while she wouldn't, as the Archbishop, be buried in the statistics, nonetheless, she was a scholar. And this is how she came into homelessness in the first place. When she was a student in UCD, she researched women's homelessness, and that's what opened her mind and her heart to the problem. So she always had the statistics to give to the press, to the government. When she was pressing her case, whether it was for for the poor, for the homeless, whether it was for immigrants, because her big interest in more recent years was in the setting up the Immigrant Council, and because it was became a huge issue here and still is. Mm-hmm. She was most concerned to underpin everything she said, both with the morality
with facts,
and the
absolutely.
Principles of the Christian faith, but also with the statistics. She was a scholar to her fingertips.
Absolutely. All right. Dr. Mary McAleese and Emeritus Archbishop Diarmaid Martin, thank you both very much for that assessment of Sister Stanislaus Kennedy, who has passed away. Let's take a break.
Today on RTE Radio 1.